Good morning, friend, and welcome to today's edition of The Bible Says. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We didn't get out of verse 13 yesterday, and frankly, I will spend some more time with it today. There hath no temptation taken you, but so, you know, this is a good verse to commit to memory. Really is. You'll find that you'll have opportunity to use it to share it with other people. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about this, and the fact that God does not allow bad things, evil things, to happen to his children. And at first blush, that sounds like something that's just engineered to get a discussion, get a debate, get an argument going, pick a fight. But the fact of the matter is, for the Christian, again, what does the Bible say? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. I'm amazed at how many times you'll see part of that verse quoted and the rest of it left off. You'll hear, and I've heard preachers do it. I've seen it in gospel tracts. It is dishonest. There is no good character in misapplying a portion of Scripture. I don't care what the reasoning is. And you'll see it fragmented like this. And we know that all things work together for good. My friend, that is patently a lie if that's all you're going to go with. Paul didn't stop there as he wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. He said, and we know, that word know comes from a Greek word that means to know with all assurance, with complete certainty. And we know, we're convinced of the fact, that all things work together for good to them. Notice, please, there's a focus. It's linear here. It's not wide open generalization. Something good is going to happen to you today. Hogwash. If you're a Christian, yes, but if you're not, if you're out of fellowship with him, I can guarantee you something terrible is going to happen to you today. And people say, oh my goodness, you shouldn't say things like that. Hey, it's just a matter of statistics. It's a matter of common sense and observation of the real world. Now, how you look at it is going to be determined by your walk with the Lord. But let's go back a minute, this idea of something bad happening to a Christian. If you got laid off from work, would that be something bad? You say, oh my goodness, this time of year, that would be terrible. God, oh God, wouldn't let that happen to me, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he? And why not? Why not? You say, well, I can't think of anything much worse. Oh, don't be silly. Of course you can think of worse things than that. But why is it? Why is it sometimes that people get laid off? Good people, Christian people get laid off. Why? It's interesting. Sometimes you look back, you see a man's laid off. Wasn't necessarily the plant closed down, but a man got laid off. Wasn't his fault, but he got laid off, downsizing or whatever. And then, just a few weeks or months after that, there's an accident. Wipes out, you know, half a dozen people right in the very spot where he normally would work. But God saw to it in advance. He got moved out of there. Now, did God allow something bad to happen when he lost that job? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise of the Word of God. Now, this idea of something bad, Dwight L. Moody years ago was a greatly used of God, man. And he was walking down the street one day, and later he described it. He said, I was walking along the edge of the curb there. He said, suddenly it felt as though a great hand pushed me out into the street. And when he went out into the street, he got run over by a carriage, a horse-drawn carriage, put him in the hospital for several weeks. And people said, oh, Mr. Moody, that's terrible. Why would God let that happen to such a servant of the Lord? And Moody corrected them. They said, don't ever accuse my Heavenly Father of doing something bad. He said, granted, it hurt, and I didn't like it. But he said, I've got to looking at it. I wasn't spending enough time in the Word of God. I wasn't taking the time to pray as deeply about things as I ought to. And here in this bed, I couldn't do anything else but didn't have anything to occupy my mind with except to turn my attention to the things of the Word of God and my own relationship with God. My friend, sometimes God has to do things to set you aside, to get you to think, to get you to evaluate, to take stock, to inventory where you are spiritually. Sometimes homes break up and little children are damaged and hurt and scarred for the rest of their life. Now you can't say that's not bad. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Could God have been sparing that child from something even worse? You think about it. Think about it. What about abortion? Oh, that's terrible. Now you can't defend abortion. Oh, I didn't say I was defending abortion, but I think God has used it sometimes. You think about it just a moment. If a little child dies before he reaches the age of accountability, according to the scripture, he goes to be with the Lord. Now, suppose for a moment we talk about some lady who has had an abortion. It's not a medical necessity. She just was too lazy to take care of birth control, and so as a result she's using the murder of an unborn child to get rid of an unwanted pregnancy. Now you think about this for a minute. What kind of mother, spiritually, what kind of mother would that be to that little child? What sort of opportunity would that child have to hear the gospel? I mean, let's face it, Christians aren't beating the doors down in the neighborhood trying to win people to Christ. When's that little kid going to hear the gospel? When is mama going to teach him how to pray? When is his mother going to explain things? Oh, no, 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 no. See, this woman doesn't want him. So she kills him. Is it not an act of mercy that God would allow that child to be aborted? You say, oh, I don't know. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You think about this. Think about what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to go the route that some religions have gone, the idea you've got to draw breath, because if you don't, then that child will go into limbo and oh my, yaddy, 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 yaddy. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. But if you have a little child going to be born into a home like that, what chance does he have? What chance, what likelihood is there that that mother or that family would do anything for that little child to bring them to Jesus? Don't ever point the finger at God and say, God's a bully. God's not doing right. God does bad things to good people. For my friend, he does not. The badness of a thing or the goodness of the thing comes from your own thinking, your own evaluation of it. It hurt. I don't like it. Does that make it bad? What was God trying to teach you? What's God wanting you to do? Do you ever notice sometimes things happen because you have done something wrong? If God didn't love you, he'd let you get away with it. The Bible says a child without chastening is illegitimate. I mean, the Bible uses the word bastard. If your heavenly Father did not chasten you, if he did not discipline you, he would treat you as though you were illegitimate and he had no responsibility for you. But because he loves you, he does chasten. Now, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. There are programs on television you don't have to watch. Yeah, way of escape. It's called the on and off button. It's called the power switch. That's broke. Probably not working anyway, but if that's broke, there's always the plug. You can unplug it. There's always a way to avoid temptation. Well, my goodness, you know the awful things that you can get on video cassette and in DVDs? Way of escape. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to rent it. Well, yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be like this. I don't know. There was a time or two when I inquired of somebody. I'd heard good things about a particular film, and I don't go along with the idea of supporting the movie industry in a big way at all. But sometimes on video, you wonder. You say, well, I wonder, but I'd like to see this. I think from what I've heard, I'd like to see this film. And I remember asking one time an individual who was a professing Christian. I said, "What about this film? Is it any immorality in it?" "No, no." I said, "How about the language?" "No, no swearing, no cussing, no. It's a fine movie. You won't find anything wrong with this movie." Well, based on that recommendation, I rented it. What a dummy. I never heard such language. No swearing. Really? Well, I don't know what you'd call it. I'd call it dirty talk. But you see, this Christian, this professing Christian, didn't have enough discernment to be able, didn't even bother him. Didn't catch his attention. Bothered me. "Well, yeah, but what are you going to do? You paid your money." Turn it off. Turn it off. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. You're watching television in somebody else's home, or they've got a video on, and you're watching somebody else's home. You don't feel like it's your place to just jump up or run over and turn it off. But my friend, you can leave the room. There is a way out if you want it. The terrible thing is, God makes the way of escape, and we don't avail ourselves of it. We don't want to. It's easier to sit where we are. It's easier just to, well, you know, I won't let it bother me. That's like people saying, "Well, you know, that music, I know the words are pretty bad, but I don't pay attention to the words." Silly fool, you can't keep the words out. The words are objectionable. You don't have to listen to it. There's a way out. There's a way of escape. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now notice where he puts the responsibility. On you. On you. As I said, there's no excuse for you to sin. When you sin, it is by your choice. Your responsibility. You're accountable. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, this whole dissertation here, keep in mind, chapters 8, 9, and 10 have been dealing, circling around this matter of things offered to idols. But the real problem is not the meat, it's the idols. It's the spiritual condition of the setting. And he says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Yes, but it's everywhere, flee from idolatry. You don't have to participate in it. Flee it. "Well, I'll tell you what now, preacher. You try to keep a good thought life and you walk down the street on any city in warm weather. Now, you tell me that you don't have impure thoughts the way women dress." Well, hey, cut me. I bleed red blood. I'm as open to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life as anybody else. However, you may not be able to help that first sight, but you can determine, you do control whether or not you'll look again and how long you'll stare. God's faithful. God's faithful. Make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. They were in a situation when anybody else would say, "Well, you know, if you make a big stink about this commotion, people will talk bad about you, and you'll look like a fool. Just go along with it." Flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Does this make sense or not? I'm speaking to people who've got enough sense to see this. That's what Paul says. Well, I'm out of time for today. I hope you'll join me for the next broadcast as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians. See you then.